Welcome to Hallway Transgressions. I'm Chris.
I'm Ryan.
We are two private school alumni, and this podcast serves to examine the worldviews of Christian pastors and teachers through a postmodern lens. Trigger warning, this episode discusses topics that may be controversial, offensive, or triggering to nature to some individuals. Listen at your own risk. Hey Ryan, what's your bright spot?
Oh, there's just so many to choose from. I'm going to have to go with... I've been reading a lot of Bleach because who has time to watch Bleach? I'm going to read it. And I got through one of the major arcs today. So now it's like there's a whole new story to unfold. I love it. I like going into a new arc. It's like it took so long just to get to the end of like this whole sequence of battles that went on. It was like 100 chapters of just like this, just like the last part of the arc. Like it was all building up and then just took forever to get through the so many different battles between different people. But we made it through. I'm sure stuff will come back to haunt us later in the series.
That'll never happen. How far are you?
Like halfway. So spoiler alert for those who are reading or watching Bleach. I got to the part where Aizen was taking over Kurokara in the Soul Society, and Ichigo learned the final Getsuga, and so they were able to get Aizen, and now we're starting with, like, a year has passed, and he has no Shinigami powers anymore. Whatever will happen, he must just go on to living a normal life. That's got to be it. That's why there's 300 more chapters left.
300 chapters of a normal life. That was for me, not for the listeners.
It's just boring. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. It's pretty good.
Very cool.
How about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is we got an email from a listener the other day, and it was very nice and very encouraging. It was from someone that had grown up in a fundamentalist-ish, very strict household, and it was really nice to hear that we've been able to reach out to at least some people, and they've been finding comfort and help through our episodes, because that's what we're here for. And now I'm going to shamelessly plug, if you do want to reach out to us, we have an email, hey@hallwaytransgressions.com, and feel free to email almost anything you want, and we'd be happy to hear from any listeners out there. I know there's at least 10 of them, and I appreciate everyone. So the rest of this episode is going to be an interview and talk we had with a former classmate and old friend, Becca from Lakewood. I really enjoyed our conversation. I thought we had a lot of good talks beforehand, and we went through an episode as well. Spoiler alert on that. It wasn't fun. But yeah, I think talking to Becca got me thinking a little bit more about how a lot of the teaching in Lakewood was always to you had like an approved list of people to listen to, and like seeking sources outside of that wasn't very kosher.
I think like this was like not a big realization, but it was just something I was like, you know how you go through your head and you're just thinking things and then spirals down. It's like how people go on YouTube, but just in your brain. I got to memories growing up of people always saying like, be careful what you expose yourself to, be careful what you are taking in, like how based on what you are feeding your mind, it will like corrupt you with bad type of thing. And I got that a lot. I got, when I was growing up, I had books thrown away while I was at school, very limited on what I was able to watch based on this idea of you got to be careful what you are bringing in to your mind because it will affect you in that connotation negatively. And really, I just started thinking about that and thinking like that just seems to be almost like advocating ignorance. Like, don't read these types of books. Don't listen to these people. Don't watch these people so that you won't corrupt yourself. And in theory, like, I understand it. Like, I get it. But I've more come to a, I'm going to take in as much as I can so that I have a more well-rounded idea of things and not just a one-sided view of things. But yeah, it's almost like the church, at least the one that I grew up in, was saying, be ignorant, don't expose yourself to things that might lead you astray, lead you away from God. And look at that. They were kind of right.
It almost does more damage, though, in a way. I know I was thinking about Focus on the Family actually last night at like way too late, which is never a good thing. But I was thinking about how Focus on the Family is an organization that tries to teach parents how to raise themselves, almost like you're trying to make a carbon copy perfect Christian out of another human being that you're responsible for. And they sell a lot of books and tools and media. They're a media powerhouse to create like a culture of, I mean, fundamentalist Christians, really, but a culture where parents have strict control over what their children consume and the media that they watch and the media that they read. And there's also books for the parents on how to do things. But I was looking at a book the other night that was what you do when your child starts to question the faith. And I thought it was really interesting that they create a pipeline of like, you read all the early parenting books and then you read the books about what to do, you know, through elementary school and middle school and like how to raise your kid in a perfect Christian household. And then when that doesn't work because you're, you know, your kid is an independent human that has their own thoughts and feelings and attitudes about the world, when that doesn't work, then you can buy this other book that tells you what to do when everything falls apart around you. And it just kind of made me laugh that it was just like, yeah, you do all this stuff that they tell you to do and then it doesn't work, and then they sell you books to do when it doesn't work. And it's almost like maybe you should just like talk about what's going on with your kid. It almost feels like that a lot of the parents need to do the deconstructing work so that their kids don't have to do it later, really.
Yeah. And you know what? Since we won't have kids, we'll be the better parents to other people's kids.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll tell those parents what to do.
Let me lecture all these other parents on what to do.
We have no ground for telling parents what to do.
Yeah, arguably, I don't think Focus on the Family has any ground to do it either, but
well, no,
whatever.
They just have money in mind. At least we have the child's well-being in mind.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help a little bit, hopefully, just a tad. I just don't want other people to go through the experience we had to do if they don't have to, you know?
Hey, remember that movie that made the government seem like the bad guy for trying to help children get the education that everyone has a right to?
No.
You don't remember that movie?
It had to do with...
Oh, you do?
No.
It sounds a lot like that. We the people?
Oh,
God's not dead? Because the parents were like, we want to be able to homeschool our kids and teach them whatever the fuck we want. And the government's like, no, we want your child to be educated. And then they paint the whole thing like it's a parent's right to indoctrinate their child however they want.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we should do a mini series on that. And if the listeners want that, they should reach out to us.
All the God's Not Dead movies. All of them. We'll go through each one. And with that, enjoy the episode.
Please enjoy the episode we had with Becca. Today we have with us a very special guest from a former Lakewood student, Becca.
Hello.
Welcome, Becca. So to get started, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you ended up at Lakewood?
How I ended up at Lakewood? My parents put me there.
Did you go all 12 years?
All but sixth grade, because my parents didn't like the sixth grade teachers at the time, so they sent me to public school for 1 year.
Whoa, I did that too.
My sixth grade year was wild, though. I got a Yahoo account without my mom knowing. She found an email where I cussed to a friend.
Oh, no.
All because my computer froze when I was trying to exit out of Yahoo when she got home from work. So shout out to dial-up internet for getting me in trouble.
What a snitch. Classic dial-up, right?
But yeah, so went there all but sixth grade and pre-K. I didn't go to pre-K because I don't know. I just didn't. But graduated 2014. So I was a year ahead of you guys. Ryan and I were pretty good friends in high school. I was one of the friends he was talking about in the previous episode when he said we all abandoned him.
Yep. You guys
I abandoned him.
Yep. Just had to graduate. You could have just got held back.
No thanks. One more year there? No. I was out of there. But yeah, then I went to Trine. So I was at Trine for 3 years, graduated with a degree in psychology and criminal justice. Had every intention after I was doing that to like, I was going to get my master's in forensic psychology. I was going to go to law school. I had all these like lofty dreams for myself. And then I thought that God was calling me into ministry, whatever you want to take that as. So I ended up, it was so funny too. Like I had a really cool internship lined up my senior year of college. I was going to intern with one of our professors who is a forensic psychologist, and I canceled it to intern at County Line, and I hate myself for that. Like, it was a really cool opportunity, and I didn't do it.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, so then I interned at County Line my senior year of college. And then when I graduated, they offered me a job. It was part-time, so I stayed. I was actually there. Oh, Ryan, I totally forgot we worked at the movie theater together.
I forget who I worked with at the movie theater. There were too many Lakewood people there. I was sick of it by the time I left. I think all I remember is...
I totally forgot you worked there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you started like before I did, and then I got a job there. But so I was at NCG for a long time. I was there, I don't even know, but because I stayed part-time at the church and then part-time as a manager there. But then eventually they made my job full-time. And so I started out as their preteen coordinator was my official title. So I was in charge of their fifth and sixth grade ministry. And then they realized I should not be leading a ministry and I have much better administrative skills. So I became their student ministries coordinator. So I was just basically the assistant to the junior high and high school pastors, which I was basically already doing. So, but yeah, so stayed there for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. I can't remember exactly how long I was there, but I don't know. Yeah, Ryan, I feel like you and I just crossed paths in so many ways because like we had NCG, we had school, and then we had County Line.
Yeah, there was just a thing. Lakewood had its own little like sphere, like community almost, where everyone went to the same places. Everyone thought of doing the same things. So many people from Lakewood went to County Line. So many people from Lakewood worked at NCG. It was something.
It's not a cult. They swear it's not a cult.
It's not a cult.
Call it a hive mind, and then it's not a cult.
Everyone's connected to the spirit. Just so you know. So they're all like, it's not a hive mind. The mind in that hive mind is just the Holy Spirit connecting everyone together. Just so you know.
My bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
Get it right.
Thank you for educating me. trying to think of this. Oh, yeah. What I'm doing now. So I lost my train of thought because we started talking about a hive mind and a cult.
And the Holy Spirit.
Stranger Things?
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. Clearly, that's what's on my mind is Stranger Things. I was at County Line for like 3 or 4 years, got super burnout, super tired of ministry, really just kind of hated what I was doing. The students were like the only aspect of it that I liked because I felt like they needed me, especially the Lakewood kids that were there, I felt like needed me. And then left there in 2020, mid-pandemic, I left, I think, and went to Allen County Community Corrections, also known as home detention. I was a dispatcher there for our home detention officers, as well as I monitored people that were on GPS. So I stared at, basically, I stared at Google Maps all day and like points on a map. And then now I am at the volunteer lawyer program. So my official title is volunteer coordinator and assistant executive director. So I do just a lot of different stuff for them, but I'm 5 weeks in and I love it. So yeah, that's me.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your beliefs during your time at Lakewood?
Yeah, let's get into it.
I guess, yeah, I mean, pretty much whatever Lakewood believed, I believed. I was super heavily entrenched, I feel like. I was going on mission trips. I was leading chapels. I was leading Bible studies. Like, I was your very stereotypical, like, high school Christian kid. It's so funny, too, because I tell my friends that, like, I was probably the golden child up until I left the church because, like working for the church anyways, because I was like, I don't know. I was always just that kid that was super strong in their beliefs and I had my opinions and like, I don't know. I believed everything they told me. I didn't really question it. I just knew that I was raised in faith and that's what I was supposed to do. And I think I just like got some sort of sense of satisfaction of like being a leader in those spectrums. And I think that's really more what like drew me to faith was like the leadership opportunities because I had people like giving me a lot of responsibilities and I liked that people trusted me and were willing to like let me lead things. But I didn't really know what I was doing and I was kind of just like flying by the seat of my pants and I was very good at memorization. Like I'm freakishly good at memorization. So I think faith at Lakewood was easy for me because I just regurgitated whatever answer I thought they expected from me.
So these tests were easy for you too.
Oh, so easy.
Right? Yeah, it was like it was you, me, and some other person that had got 100% on his final. He like kept track of it.
Yeah, and it wasn't because I actually like cared about what I was studying. I'm just really good at memorization. So like you should see the stack of flashcards that I made when I was in college. Like also Mr. D's class did not compare to if anyone that ever listens to this went to Trine. There's this psychology professor, Dr. Blaze, who his classes were the hardest classes I've ever taken in my life. And it was all just like pure memorization. So like even that class I did really well in because it's just straight memorization. Like you give me a line. I could have been an actor if I wasn't actually bad at acting because I can regurgitate whatever you want me to.
All right, I'm gonna pull up a list of fallacies. You're gonna tell me what they are.
Okay, I can't. It's memorize and trash it. It's not memorize. My memorization is not memorize and then keep it in like a computer bank in my brain. It's memorize and okay, I'm done with this. Move on.
Once you write it down on the test, it's gone.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Just disappeared.
That's funny. I always remember everything that anyone ever tells me, and it's a burden.
Oh, poor Chris has a wonderful memory.
It's when I listen to podcasts, like these terrible podcasts.
Yeah.
And like, I just remember everything anyone has ever said. And, you know, it weighs on me. A lot.
I don't know. That's kind of amazing. I forget everything everyone tells me, so.
That's a blessing. It's really nice. I love being able to just take anything that anyone says and just, you know, forget about it at will. I love it.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
It really is. It's the key to happiness for me.
So, Becca, how did the slave auction event make you feel?
Oh my god. Did you write this question when I told you that I've been talking about it with people?
Yep.
It's so funny because this actually came up. So my oldest brother and I, we just like have been texting back and forth a lot recently. So he's atheist, I believe. I don't want to like assume what his beliefs are. But last time I talked to him and he like put a label on it. I think that's where he was. But him and I were talking about just like every now and then I'll text him and just be like, remember when Lakewood did this? Like, remember when Lakewood did this? And we were having a conversation. He just goes, do you remember the junior senior slave auction? And I said, oh my God, yes. And it was just this realization that, like, I didn't even question that when I was in high school. I did not even think about how horrific this was. Like, it's so horrible that we did this, which, like, for anyone listening that doesn't know what the junior-senior slave auction was, basically, it was one of the fundraising things that the junior and senior class would get to do. And, like, I remember it just being, like, the biggest fundraising opportunity you had. Like, if you did that fundraiser, you raked in so much money. And literally, it was the students from the classes that were raising the money would get auctioned off to people in the crowd who would literally, we had an actual auctioneer like come in, do the auction, and auction us off as human beings. And we would have to like go and do whatever they wanted for like a day. And I was like, we are literally commercializing slavery. Like what? I still can't wrap my head around it. Like, I don't know if it would have been worse if they had at least named it something else, if that would have made it any better.
Oh, they did.
What did they start calling it?
The servant auction.
That is just as bad.
Yeah.
They still do it. They renamed it. Yep.
They renamed it again?
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's still the servant auction. They still do it. I just confirmed again recently to make sure. And they still do it.
How can anyone get away with this? Like, you're literally trivializing an entire people group's horrific struggle and using it to raise money for your junior senior banquet. Like, what? How does no one see a problem with this?
I don't know. What I do know is that they do the same thing with slavery in the Bible. They just say that it's actually not slavery. It was being servants to pay off debt, which is not true.
Indentured servants.
It was pretty horrific. Slavery is just bad. I don't know if you guys know this, but slavery is not good.
I didn't know. Wow, I'm glad you told me.
I just don't understand, too, like, why people are so set on just, like, skimming over it. Like, slavery freaking happened. Why are we pretending and trying to put it in this, like, nice little box with a bow on it and be like, yeah, this happened, but, like, it's okay now. Like, no, it's not freaking okay. Like, there's so much systemic racism. There's so many systemic problems because of slavery, regardless of what you want to call it, whether it's servanthood or slavery, it's freaking slavery. And I feel like Christians will just want to like wash their hands of everything and not take any accountability for the fact that like Christians were literally the ones like leading the slave trade. Like, and we just want to wipe our hands of accountability and we change one word in a slave auction to a servant auction and it makes it okay. Like, no, it freaking doesn't. Ugh, that makes me so mad that they still do it. I was hopeful that maybe they wouldn't, but that makes me upset that they still do it.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's awful.
You have too high views of Lakewood, it sounds like.
I'm just slightly hopeful that, like, maybe there's been some growth whatsoever, but apparently not.
No. No growth. I listen to their podcast, no growth.
That's fair. I listened to one episode and that was enough for me.
Yeah. Do you want to tell any more about your deconstructing story, where you stand now?
Great question. Well, no, it's just funny because I was texting. This is a conversation I've just been like continuing with like so many different people because I don't know. That's kind of how I started my deconstruction journey. It really was just like having conversations with people because it's so funny. When I was in high school, I remember going to, of all places, a Fun concert and they had these shirts that said, "It's all fun and gay till someone loses their rights." And I was like 15 or 16 when I saw those shirts. And I was like, ah, yeah. But then I'm like, I'm not supposed to think that. Like, I'm not supposed to agree with that. But like, yeah, like I do agree with that. And so just like, I think my deconstruction journey, whether I knew it or not, like started when I was in high school. And I just like had all these questions inside of me that I just kind of like buried under the like regurgitation of what I knew I was supposed to like answer stuff as. And so I think I've always had these thoughts in my head of like, I do affirm the LGBTQ community and like, I don't know if I agree with everything that they're telling me in school and at church. And especially my last year leading a group at County Line, it was really hard for me to tell the kids what they wanted me to tell them while holding a very different belief in my own mind because I was starting to process through, maybe I don't believe that. Maybe I don't agree with that. And, you know, it was especially hard for me to wrap my brain around the fact that my boyfriend and I wanted to move in together. And when I was working there, I thought I could probably lose my job if we moved in together. I was like, that's kind of messed up. Like, I shouldn't be able to lose my job just because my boyfriend and I want to move in together. And so I think it was just a lot of questions and conversations I was having with myself of like, I don't understand this. I don't get this. And this year, like probably only a few months ago, I came to terms with the fact that I don't want to go to a physical church anymore. And I felt a lot of guilt about that for a long time and have only recently just been okay with, I don't want to go back to a physical church building. And I don't necessarily know what I believe, and I'm okay with that. I don't have a name for what I believe. I don't know at all what I believe right now. I'm kind of at the point where I know what I don't believe and what I don't agree with, and I'm going to work my way up from there.
Yeah, just don't get too comfortable once you get set with some beliefs. They're going to change again.
That's fine.
And once you start, they just keep evolving. It just never ends. It's exhausting.
I just need like a base right now. I need a baseline.
It's never going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah. The world isn't black and white. So once you lose that binary, it gets weird.
It's so funny because I think like, especially LGBTQ rights, like has been the easiest thing for me to understand. Like even when I was identifying as Christian, it was still so easy for me to just be like, yeah, I affirm that. It, like, it just makes sense. And so just like, it's so funny to me because I feel like I've been doing this for a long time of just getting to this point of what the heck do I believe? Because I've had all these thoughts for such a long time. And I just don't think I've ever had a space where I could voice them and it be normal. So I think that was really hard too, especially working at the church, of just having to like sit there and listen to them say all these things and all these thoughts and opinions and not feeling like there was space for me to voice how I felt and just feeling kind of silenced. There was another girl that I worked with. She was there at the same time and she's the same age as me. And we like really bonded over that. We'd go to lunch every Tuesday and just complain about how frustrated we were about just the politics of the place we were working. And I think that too, that was my first space where I could talk about these things. And so just that has gradually grown more and more, and having space to question, space to wonder about things. And I think has been pivotal for my deconstruction journey. It's still a journey. I'm still on it. I've got a long ways to go for sure. My poor boyfriend, I'm just like, viewing things at him. I made him listen to you guys' podcast as we were like driving in the car. And I was like, I'm reliving my high school trauma. It's fine. I got to work through this. Okay. So it's been interesting to kind of just take the journey on my own. So
yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Hey, no problem. I told you I'm an open book. I pretty much talk about anything. I think everyone that knows me knows Same. That though.
Good. We'll exploit that.
Chris doesn't. Let's bust out the Dear Doug letters.
No, 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 no. Special episodes.
No, Chris said he would never.
Dear Doug haunts me.
I had one other question of how Lakewood harmed you, but I think we got that dealt with. So
how didn't they harm?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I will say like there are aspects of Lakewood that I appreciate because I feel like I got some of my critical thinking from being there. Like I think as I've looked back and been like, what the fuck were they teaching me? Like, I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but just having having the afterthought to look back at what they were teaching me and actually questioning it. I think somehow that education tied into me being able to do that. I don't know, but
yeah. Well, we're gonna talk later in this episode, but I had the same thoughts too as well. It was like it gave me a framework of what Christians believe, so when I looked back later I was like, oh, here's all the reasons that this doesn't work. Like it gave me a deeper understanding of Christianity, and then when you look back with like a postmodern or other lens, you can be like, oh, like, once you leave Christianity, it's harder to believe in it. Like, all the arguments make sense when you're inside Christianity. But when you step outside of it and look back, you get in the same place of, like, the lens they use on every other religion, basically.
Yeah.
Which is most of this upcoming episode that we're going to talk about, so.
Neat.
Super neat.
Well, yeah. You got anything, Ryan?
Depression? No.
I'm gonna cut that and put it somewhere.
It's more like apathy.
That's funny. Well, we're glad to have you, Becca.
I just want that. I want that clip. You can still listen to sometimes. You got anything, Ryan? Me too, man. Me too.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. It's fine. This is how we get our trauma out. We just...
Oh, I laugh through all, like, uncomfortable topics. Like, it's real bad. I can't have a serious conversation without giggling. I maybe blame Liquid for that.
That's how it harmed you.
That's how it harmed me. I can't have a freaking serious conversation.
I just stopped feeling things in, like, senior year.
Well, that's probably the drugs, Ryan.
Probably. Best thing that ever happened.
I think I just faked my way the whole time.
Oh, for me, I guess it didn't feel as much like I was faking, but just kind of just going along with things. Just kind of riding it out. It was more of an observer, it felt like. Even though I was like on stages and stuff, I just felt like I was just watching everything happen.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys were both on worship team, weren't you?
I wasn't. Becca not wasn't. There.
I was. Yeah,
I didn't get involved
team.
In worship until I was in college when I learned I could actually sing.
Yay.
Now I don't do anything with it, so.
Me neither. I gave up music.
You can sing our intro. You want to do our intro?
Do you have an intro?
No. We just start.
Make it up right now.
One of my favorite YouTubers, her intro was literally her just like making sounds. It was just like she did it every single episode, like just saying it herself.
That's funny. We just jump into it, and then I just randomly cut the episode off when we're done. And
yep, we don't really have a whole process, really. We got a small one, and then we just talk.
That's fine.
And then Chris gets to decide what stays in and what goes.
Yeah, I have all the power.
Exactly. It's your podcast.
Yes, and you're all living in it. All right. Let's get this over with. This is the worst part.
Yeah, that episode was, like, I listened to your entire episode on just how they handle just really just the entire gender spectrum and sexuality. And I just, it hurt to relive everything that they told us. And it hurt to think about the people that were probably sitting in that room who were somewhere on that spectrum and having to hear people just tell them that they're sinners. Like, that breaks my heart to think about.
That's why we started the podcast, for accountability to the people in charge, but also to like reach out to hopefully any students or former students and like give them a safe place to like understand that not everyone thinks that way.
Yeah, I had a former student that wanted to meet with me, and she told me, she was like, you know, I'm having some like homosexual thoughts. And I think I gave her just the most like unexpected response, because I was like, okay, let's like talk about it. Like, I was like, how have you like explored your sexuality? Like, do you think, like, are you attracted to women? Like, are you attracted to, like, literally just started peppering her with like all these questions of like, let's talk about sexuality. Like, I think completely threw her for a loop, because it wasn't what she was expecting. But I'm just like, why can't those be the kind of conversations that you have with the student, instead of being like, you're a horrible human being, and like they're already in a place where they're gonna feel terrible because they're being told that who they are is wrong, which it's not. And I think that was like also the first thing I said to her. I was like, that's okay. I said, that's fine, that's normal. I said, it's normal to have thoughts about other girls, like that's totally fine. And just, that was never something that anyone at Lakewood would ever hear. Like, it would never be affirmed in any way, shape, or form.
Not at all. All I did in my student ministry I was a part of was combated toxic masculinity by painting my nails, and have all these like high schoolers like asking me, why are your nails painted? One kid literally was like, let me wipe those off. Like, I'm going to get some hand sanitizer. I'm going to take that nail polish off of you. It's just like messed up.
Yeah. I remember, like, sorry, now I'm just thinking about like my experiences in student ministry. Like,
nope, that's what it's for, so go for it.
I remember it was during the election, everything was happening, and we had, I don't even remember what we were talking about that night, but everyone was so heated because the election was happening and we were like waiting for the results and all that. And so we got into our small group and there was one student that was just like going off about the election results or something like that. I don't know. And I just straight up stood up and I was like, you know what, guys, I voted for Biden. I was just like, and I don't feel bad about it. And I don't feel like I'm a bad Christian for voting for Biden. And I was like, and you guys need to hear that more people can vote Democrat and still be a Christian. Like, that's a thing that happens. And just like, I think I spent my time in student ministry just like trying to be the opposite side of the spectrum Christian that I could possibly be, so that these students don't just become these cookie cutter Christians, that they actually stop and maybe think about why they're like saying these things, why they're doing these things. But I don't know if I made any difference whatsoever, but I tried.
I hope you did.
I would try to do the same things. It was in smaller ways. I always felt isolated during like worship times and whatnot when I was in the crowd, like in the congregation, because they make it seem like you have to like raise your hands or like do something. Like in youth ministry, it's more like, let's jump around and dance and in quotes, have fun. And so I was the leader that just wouldn't sing, just stood there and read the words that were on the screen during like the music portions of the, ours were on Sunday nights. But I would try to make it seem like, okay, that you don't feel like you have to sing or have to raise your hands to be a good Christian.
That's what, like, just looking back on everything, like my time at Lakewood, my time at the church. At the church, I felt a little bit more freedom to kind of believe a little bit differently, but I didn't feel like I could speak out about it. I didn't feel like I could... Even just like, I didn't feel like I could post that like I went to a bar or anything on my social media because I had students following me and that sort of thing. And just like looking back on all of it, I just felt like they were trying so hard to shove me into a box. And like, that is the last thing anyone should try to do to me, because I will burn that box to the ground. That is just not the type of human being that I am. And I think I struggled for a long time of wanting, I think eventually I wanted to fit in that box when I was at Lakewood. I wanted everyone to see that box. But then it got too small and I was like, fuck this, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I don't agree with this. I don't believe this. And I think especially with Christianity, I don't think it has to be this cookie cutter thing of you have to believe these certain things to be a Christian. That there's a podcast I follow called The New Evangelicals, and it's just been like opening my eyes a ton to just how different people see Christianity and how different people practice their faith, and how it looks so different for every person. And that was never a faith, that was never a version of Christianity that was presented to me that I could truly, you know, see things differently and that was okay. And that there's space for those beliefs, because growing up, I was told, if you agree with these things, you're wrong. The Bible says that it's wrong, and you can't have a different interpretation of the Bible because there is only one interpretation of the Bible. And like, I think that messed me up, because I was like, how can there only be one interpretation? Like, how can I just was filled with all these questions, because they just are so hard pressed to be like, check this box, and check this box. But Christianity is not a checklist, but you got to check all these boxes. I don't know. That's my soapbox.
Yeah. I think one of the last times before I quit being a volunteer at a student ministry was when I told the pastor, like, it was me and the youth pastor in charge of a group of juniors and seniors for like small groups. And he was always like wanting me to speak more. And I ended up telling him, I was like, I just feel like I have to be quiet because my beliefs are just so in contrast to a lot of the stuff here. And I just don't think you would appreciate my thoughts or their parents would appreciate my thoughts being told to them, which led to the youth pastor and his wife grilling me on my beliefs, asking me what I believed, and like arguing with me over these beliefs. I was like, this wasn't the point of the conversation. Like, I was saying, like, this probably isn't gonna work out the way it is. Like, I don't feel safe to speak here. Like, what are we gonna do about it? But no, they just made it worse by arguing against the beliefs I had no intention of bringing up. So I left.
Well, and I don't understand why they try to make faith so public. Like we have to know what you believe and we have to know what your views are. And it's like, Jesus wouldn't be doing this. Jesus doesn't care at all what my view is on these specific things. Jesus just cares that, like, I'm a human being and he wants to have a conversation with me. He's not going to sit there and grill me about my beliefs and how they're incorrect and tell me to fix it or I'm going to have to leave. Like,
you know, what? That sounds like a certain set of people that was mentioned in the Bible.
Oh, I tell people all the time that we're living in the time of the Pharisees.
Yeah. The den of vipers.
Like Christian nationalists, especially, are frickin' Pharisees and Sadducees, and I'm so over them. But
I find them entertaining.
I've told people a couple of times that I was like, when you're sitting here like spouting scripture at me, when you go back and you read the scripture like on Jesus talking to the Pharisees, does it feel like he's talking to you? Because it should.
Yeah, probably. No, they're always going to put themselves in the character of Jesus.
Because Jesus was so aggressive.
Just once. Okay. Or if you go to the Gospel of Thomas when he murdered that child. What a great book. I love hearing about child Jesus murdering people.
Should we talk about that? I want to put that on a future episode. Yeah. I want to talk about the infancy gospel of Thomas.
Hey, that wasn't included in the Council of Laodicea, however you say it. Yeah. So
it's my canon now.
So it's not a real scripture.
Yeah.
But the fact that it exists causes some questions.
Yeah.
Like why? How?
There you go. Ryan, that's my one fact that I memorized that I kept.
The Council of Laodicea, or do you mean Nicaea?
I don't know. There was a Council of Laodicea, though.
Yeah, there was. I'm pretty sure you mean Council of Nicaea. I forget. Okay. I kind of forgot church history, even though that was like my entire college career.
I have told people so many times, too, that like when I went to college, I struggled in biology class because I wasn't taught evolution. But I was taught the Council of Laodicea. Sick. Great, great, great facts I learned, guys.
Yeah, and Jeremiah 29:11 is taken out of context.
That and, there was another one that he always heard. I don't remember.
What was another one of these shticks?
He never answered where the planets are around, that's for sure.
He also told us not to believe him and to do our own research, but then gets angry when we don't believe him.
The thing that haunts me the most is the time we were learning about predestination and Arminianism, like free will. And I just remember his whole presentation. This stuck with me. This is probably also part of my deconstruction journey because I was so pissed off about it, because he gave this whole presentation on predestination and all this proof. And he, before he like started teaching it, he was like, I'm going to present both sides and like give space for you to like determine. And I was like, cool. Like, you're going to let us determine for ourselves what's true. And he gave this entire presentation on predestination. And the very end of it was one slide that gave the biblical support for free will. Just one slide in this like 15 page PowerPoint. 14 other slides were dedicated to predestination and one slide was dedicated to free will. And I was like, all right, so you're not slanted at all. Like, cool. And I feel like that's how it is with everything that Lakewood does. They're like, we're gonna like let you determine and figure this out for yourself, but we're gonna heavily influence you in this one direction very specifically, but also if you choose the other side you're wrong, but we'll let you decide for yourself.
It's not even you're wrong, it's that you burn in hell. Like, the stakes were so high for everything, right?
That in itself is so traumatizing as a child trying to like, people just became Christians. They came forward, raised their hands because they were just afraid of hell. Because you're telling me I'm going to burn in hell unless I say this one prayer. Okay, cool. I'll say the prayer. Like, gosh, I have so many problems with my upbringing.
You want my paper I wrote on hell?
No.
Chris read it.
That's pretty good.
It was basically that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I believe. So don't ask me, because I don't know.
Do you still consider yourself a Christian then?
I don't know. I think I'm having a hard time like fully letting it go just because of like how I was raised and how, I don't know, just how far into it I got. Because I also, I've seen Christianity do good, and I've seen people in faith like do really amazing things. And I also feel like I have seen God work in like certain areas of my life, but I'm just having a really hard time coming to terms with the Christianity that I was raised with. So I don't know. I don't know what I would consider myself, but I think I lean more towards somewhere where I'll still land with some sort of faith in God, because I think giving that up is really hard for me. But I wish Christianity was different. I wish people were more like Jesus, I guess. Cause like, I really do think that like the work that Jesus did on earth was so impactful, and I would love to get to hang out with Jesus. But the way that I'm seeing Christians treat people is so far from who I thought Jesus was, that that's where I'm having a hard time. Because I'm seeing like, because I was telling you guys before that like since coming out with these different beliefs, like I protested against Roe v. Wade because I vehemently believe that the church should just stay out of politics, and that's why I protest. And I got so bullied by people that call themselves Christians, and I will call it bullying because the things that they said were mean, and they probably just see me as being a snowflake is probably what they would call me. But I don't understand how you can call yourself a Christian, how you can claim to follow Jesus and just treat people so poorly. Because like, if you look at the way that Jesus treated people, it was always putting that person first. Like that person came first. He didn't ask them what their beliefs were. He didn't ask them like all these in-depth questions about what you believe on this, 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 and this. It was just like, do you love me? Will you follow me? Okay, cool. And like, do good. And I feel like modern Christianity is so cruel, and I don't know how it got to, okay, I do know how it got to this point, because I feel like looking back on it, Christianity has always been cruel, and I don't know how that stemmed from who Jesus is. But that, I'm sure Mr. D would come in and say, well, God is just and God has punishment and tell me all these things. But like, you can't sit there and tell me that Jesus would walk into a room with someone from the LGBTQ community and not affirm them. You can't tell me that Jesus wouldn't see children being slaughtered in schools and say, we need to do something, and we need to do something now. You can't tell me that Jesus wouldn't see all of these issues and take action against all of the horrible things that are happening in our world. And all I feel like Christians care about is themselves and protecting their individual selves, and they don't give a rat's ass about anyone around them anymore.
You know, I think if they want to be persecuted, we should just do that.
That's going to be as bad as my bullying work shit that I had to deal with after the first episode.
Like, they
No, but Ryan, they were persecuted when we wouldn't let them worship in churches because there was a pandemic going on. Oh, they were persecuted.
You're right. poor people couldn't go and sing their hearts out in a building with a bunch of people with the same beliefs.
Sorry, I have so many feelings about modern Christianity. You guys gave me a platform.
Yeah, blame Constantine. He's the one that put Christianity in the public eye. It's all his fault.
Okay, I'll just start so telling people.
Before Constantine, Christians were being murdered and everything. That's when Christianity was at its peak. It was doing its best. Once people got comfortable, it went downhill. Once Christianity got power.
It was so funny, too, because when I was at the protest for Roe v. Wade, I was like, I'm 90% sure if Jesus was here on earth, he'd be out here protesting with us, or at least like having conversations with us, because like Jesus was all about empathy and like understanding people. So whether or not he would agree with it or not, he would be there having conversations, trying to understand people and like be there for them. And instead, I was getting comments on my Instagram post telling me that college really messed me up.
Here's my take on what Jesus would be like in modern times. He would go to one of those protests, right? He'd go up to the megaphone that the person's holding up there and have everyone sit down cross-legged, like everyone standing with their signs. He'd just be like, everyone sit down. And then he'd just be telling a bunch of these riddles that make no fucking sense.
He would
in modern times, like those people in the past, they were like, "Why?" Like with the education level that they had and whatnot, like Jesus would just be up there and just be speaking gibberish. We have no idea what he was saying. You're like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. Just applaud.
He sounds good doing it, though.
You got two options. You can clap and applaud, or you can run him out of town.
I would just be there for the food, you know?
There's no food at protests except the...
Well, Jesus can feed them all, okay?
He can multiply my granola bar.
Yeah.
I went to a protest and there was a... I don't remember what they were called, like Food Not Bombs or something. And they had free food. Best thing ever. We were probably going to get murdered by the KKK, but at least there were vegan sandwiches. Very good. 10 out of 10.
Hey, I'm allergic to dairy, so I appreciate a vegan option being there.
It was all vegan. That's the best part. No one else had another option. They were chickpea salad, and they were amazing.
Sure they were. You can keep telling yourself that.
Shut up, Brian.
Hey, I'm lactose intolerant. I just get the lactaid stuff and eat that before every meal.
Oh, I have a straight up dairy allergy. My throat swells up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it recently developed in the last year.
Pretty cool. Probably had to change everything about what you eat all at once.
It's friggin' horrible, and I hate my life, and I still eat cheese.
Yeah, you can't give up cheese. After like eating cheese for 20 some years in a row, it's just, I don't think there's any going back.
I'd rather die.
When we went to get ice cream last night, we went to a place that they have a vegan option.
Yeah.
But they have like 30 other just normal ice cream options. And I told Nick, I was like, why couldn't the universe take this away from me when I was like 3? Why'd they have to take it away when I'm 26 and I know what the other side is like?
Yeah, like why is the only non-dairy option coconut? Come on. Give me something more than just coconut ice cream. I'm sick of it.
There are so many more options than just coconut.
Everywhere I go, the main option is coconut, and then there's like maybe one other non-dairy option.
I stand with soy. Soy is the best, and I will die on that hill.
No, for ice cream, the best is oat. Oat milk ice cream is so good.
Oat milk just has a weird bleh to it.
It's the creamiest non-dairy ice cream I've ever had.
That's not true. You need to come have this soy ice cream. No, I've tried soy ice cream.
It's not real. It's fake.
Okay.
We haven't had this ice cream. We're talking about just cream.
I don't like their soy ice cream.
Do you say just cream?
You don't like their soy ice cream?
No. Yes, it's just cream.
That's a poor choice.
Yeah, it's a horrible name for an ice cream place.
They know. They have to know.
Don't tell me what to do, ice cream place.
Their black cherry soy ice cream, I dream about it because it's the only ice cream I've had that's an actual ice cream texture.
All right. I'll get the black cherry. I'll try
it. Have you tried Oatly like at the grocery stores, like the little pints?
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Don't like Oatly? You're crazy. Your taste buds need some work.
Well, my taste buds are screwed up because of COVID, so.
Yeah, well, my lungs are screwed up because of COVID.
So, go team.
So, yay. Can't go a day without wheezing in the morning.
So, Becca, thanks for joining us and breaking up the straight white male hierarchy we had going on. Give it a little variable and variance here. The episode...
I'm barely different. I'm a cis white female.
Is she our token female for the show? Like, what is this?
We can stop being accused of appropriating everything and speaking out of our lane. I don't want to go any further than that. I can keep going. The episode we're talking about today is season 3, episode 5, When Friends Are Deconverting. The episode starts 8 minutes into a very brisk 27-minute episode. I feel like this topic should have had a little bit longer than 27 minutes. Well, 19 minutes, really. But nope. Apparently, the world can be solved from deconversion in 19 minutes. So, I'm just going to give a little background here. It opens up with a question from a former student who was saying that they were talking to their best friend who used to believe in the story of Christianity and Jesus, but now this person just believes that there is a God that created the world. I asked, what made you change your mind? The person responded that there are so many religions and so many worldviews. How do I know the one of Christianity is true? So really to pull out of that is the person found a lot of inconsistencies in Christianity, and that's what made them change their mind from being exclusionary to more open to other religions. So the former student was responding to their best friend with concepts from UTT, and their friend responded, but anyone can use their religion to make the other one sound wrong. And that put the former student at a standstill, which I think is kind of funny. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the UTT class in general. I know we mentioned it before, but Becca, actually, you did the final exam where you had to sit down and try to guess someone's worldview and try to convert them, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I forgot that Mr. D stopped teaching Bible class for a little bit after my grade. So I totally blanked on the fact that we were one of the last ones to have it, obviously, until he started teaching again. But yeah, so you spent the entire year learning, I think it was like 8 worldviews or something like that. And then your final exam, he was a stranger at a bus stop. Mind you, you did this in front of your entire class. So you had to do this awkward interaction in front of your classmates, which made it just that much worse. But you basically had to walk up to him, pretend like you were just a stranger, and you had to strike up a conversation with him and ask questions and try to figure out what his worldview was. And then also, based on what he was saying, try to defend against the thing he was telling you. It was kind of fun. It was like Jeopardy. You got a lifeline because you had like one, you could ask the class for help. Like you could pause the interview or the interaction or whatever and ask the class for help, and they could tell you like how to direct the conversation or like what to ask if you were stuck. And so when I did mine, he ended up being a cosmic humanist, which I don't even fully remember exactly what that is. I know, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Buddhism and Hinduism fall under that umbrella of some sort.
Yes.
I was going to say, Chris, you probably know better than I do. You're the brains of this operation.
Ryan did more school than me, but yeah.
But you remember all your facts, so you have all of that tucked away.
Deeply tucked away.
But, yeah, so, like, my conversation with him, I remember it, like, it really got directed like towards the environment of some sort. Like we talked about oil spills and the turtles at some point. And my exam was actually relatively easy compared to a lot of the other people that had to do theirs, because cosmic humanism, what I remember it being pretty straightforward, and just the tips and stuff that he gave us, it was like decently easy to defend against, which is such a strange thing to have an exam be an argument with someone at a bus stop, because I don't think I've ever in my life even had a conversation at a bus stop. Like it was just not realistic.
Well, you've failed the lesson then, because you're supposed to have these conversations all the time in college and convert people.
It's so funny because I do remember like my freshman year having some of these conversations, and then I was like, I don't care about this. So I just stopped having the conversation. I just like arguing. Did I want to be a lawyer at one point? Yes. But do I want to actually care about what I'm arguing about? Also, yes. And I just like didn't care about telling people that they were wrong. Like my heart was just not in it. But yeah, I remember I did use my lifeline. I had to pause and ask a question because I got stuck in my exam, but I ended up figuring it out. And what was so wild about the exam too is if you guess wrong, you fail. And I remember one of Ryan and I's mutual friends, Austin, I don't actually remember if he ended up failing or not, but everyone in the class agreed with him and thought that the worldview that he chose was the correct one. And Mr. D told him, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't the one I was doing. And everyone said, yes, it was. And I don't know if he ended up failing him or not. Ryan, do you remember?
He didn't get failed. I think he got docked some points, but
okay.
He did not fail the final.
Yeah, I remember him like threatening us, like, if you get it wrong, you'll fail. And I was like, what? can you do that? You're giving us a 50-50 chance, basically. And if we get it wrong, then we fail. We just fail the final. But yeah, it was, I just remember the trauma from that exam alone that it put people through, because some people just aren't meant to be put in front of people on a stage like that, no less. And people froze up a ton, didn't know what to ask, didn't know how to handle the conversation. And it's just mind boggling to me that it wasn't, I guess in a way it was a test of our knowledge, but it was like, how well can you prove these people wrong? And that's not what I want my faith to be in any way. I don't want my faith to be about what I can prove people wrong about. I want my faith to be my faith, and that's it. Like, my faith has nothing to do with other people. It has nothing to do with conversations that I have trying to prove people wrong. Like, my faith is my faith. And if people ask me questions, I'll answer it, but it's personal. It's not my job to tell someone, hey, I think you're wrong, and this is why. Here's all the reasons. that whole exam just haunts me.
Mm-hmm. Thank God we didn't have to do it.
Yeah, it was. Everyone was so stressed out. It was, yeah.
I remember you guys being stressed. I don't even know you that well.
Yeah, it was bad. I think my best friend was, I guess I can say her first name, but Peyton was like freaking out. And I just remember her and I like constantly going over the different worldviews and like just going over them one after the other, trying to remember like different things. And we would watch the other classmates that had to do it, because you got like put in a random order, I think, for who like went first. And we would sit in the back of the classroom, and like if people were struggling, we would sit there and try to figure out like how we would handle it and how we would help them. But I don't know. I just, that was not it. That exam was not it.
Yeah. It's bad. I think he still does it. Oh, I just also want to say that cosmic humanism isn't like a real term that other religions use.
No, it's not.
It's one that was just like, I don't know. I keep saying this every episode, but it's like evangelicals just create terms for things that where terms already exist to like feel smart or something, but it's more. Yeah, well,
that's like where I've never heard any of these worldview like terms like used outside of Lakewood.
Yeah,
except for Islam, because Islam had its own umbrella too for some reason along with those other worldviews.
That's right. But
I also remember Mr. D getting really triggered when I brought up the point that Islam and Christianity are so very similar.
They are.
I'm just getting very, very triggered and being, well, no. And like, then going into all this explanation, I'm like, no, but they're like really similar. Like, really, really similar.
Yeah. Like, almost like they created together around the same area and the same time and the same culture. It's weird.
Yeah.
Same origin stories.
Weird.
Yeah. Don't know what that's about, but. Sure, we'll never figure it out. But yeah, cosmic humanism is just like the new age movement, like kind of thing is a more apt term for it. I don't know why they make these terms up. It's super annoying. Like, because I'll come across something and just be like, there's a term for this in Christianity. And then I have to like match the terms and then remember which one goes where. It's super
annoying. Translate your Christianese.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that it just feels like, wait a second, there's terms for all this like psychology and stuff too, like mm-hmm. things they talk about. Yeah, like when they define truth, that was interesting. So Slopher defines truth in this episode with that which best corresponds with reality. So does it match up with what is actual in our world? I thought that was an interesting definition of truth.
You know, our definition for truth is that which best corresponds to reality. You know, that does it match up to what is actual in our world? And
that is a weird definition.
Yeah. So I was looking around trying to figure out where he got it. I don't know. I couldn't find anything about it. I don't know if he made it up on the spot there or like it's a book that I wasn't able to find. But I spent like a solid half an hour trying to find this definition of truth.
Yeah, that's weird. I feel like the way that definition almost makes it sound like truth is relative. Because if you're saying how it corresponds with our reality, it could correspond differently with each person's reality. I don't know. I'm not that smart though. So maybe I'm just confused.
Yeah. It's a good point. I just know all the answers they would say to that would be no, and then just like a weird twist of what reality even means. Like, we'd just be going down a definition rabbit hole with them.
Yeah. Or
they'd be like, reality is grounded in truth, and then you're like, wait a second.
What?
Now we're in a circle. Oh no, not again.
But truth is the, but what?
And then he goes on, and he was saying that you can immediately weed out worldviews with the students. Oh, the students' pronouns are she, her, they use. So, and the student's best friend. And then he quotes, no brainer, I know that's not true, for some of the possible worldviews. And then goes on this weird rant about atheism isn't true because we have morals. And I know I've heard that one before, and it's just weird that it's still around. But basically, they believe that morality came from a creator that's good and only good. So we have a goalpost through God because he's perfect and he's never done any evil. And so we know what good is through that.
It at least weed out some worldviews and some religions that right away it's like no brainer. Okay, well, I know that's not true, whether it's based on what we know through science and observation or based on what we know through human life, everyday human life experience. For example, with atheism, that morality, you know, has arisen from evolution, and that the problem of evil and suffering is bad luck. You know, even the person who is an atheist who would claim that doesn't really live that, though. They're not really going to live as if evil and suffering is just bad luck. I mean, it's something they really care about, especially when it hits close to home.
What do you think about where do you think morals came from, Ryan?
Morals, society, social evolution. How can there be people with different morals? Like, if we're going to say that there's a base standard of morals that everyone has, then everyone would follow those. Not everyone. There's not one moral that everyone follows that thinks it's good or bad. Like, give me a standard. Yeah, name one. And I bet there's a group out there that would think it's either like the opposite of what some other group of people think. Oh, postmodernism. My favorite. That one is my favorite. Never mind.
I love postmodernism.
I just remember him telling us that postmodernists were the worst.
Oh, yeah. They still say that in their podcast episodes, too. It's great.
Yeah. We have some inside jokes where in our description and stuff, we say postmodernism, not because it's like a real thing, but because we know that they talk shit about it all the time. Yeah. Still.
That's fair.
I think postmodern is like the realest out of all of them, though. I think that's a pretty real term.
It makes a lot of sense. And it's really just hermeneutics. That's,
I think,
all.
Humanism is a thing, too, but they call it secular humanism.
Or cosmic.
Or cosmic. Like, just humanism, though, is a thing.
It is.
This is where I'm very much, like, still deconstructing, so I wouldn't know what to tell you to that question. Like, I haven't gotten there yet.
All you do is just wholeheartedly just go with a belief at the time, and then you just change that belief, like, a few days later. And then you just wholeheartedly argue a different perspective. Just keep arguing random perspectives, and it's a great time.
Until one sticks.
Yeah. Until one actually makes sense, and like you don't find a hole, which really never, I don't think that's happened yet. There's been holes in everyone.
What's it called where you just believe in being a decent human being?
Humanism.
Okay, perfect. We're just talking about it.
Yeah, but see, that's problematic in itself. What does it mean to be decent? People have different ideas on what decent is and what being a decent human being is.
Yeah, that's why you need God for morals.
No, you don't. You want God for morals. It would be so much easier if there was some baseline or standard. Like, life would be so much easier that way.
I don't know. They seem to have a baseline, and it makes life pretty friggin' difficult.
For everyone else, but not for them. It's easy for them. They enjoy it. They love having set beliefs that they don't falter on.
Oh, hurts.
Well, publicly falter on.
Right, but like, even if they do, they're not going to admit it.
Yeah, they have a built-in trap door for that. And it's the concept of redemption, right? Like, I sin, but I'm turning it around and getting better. It's not called redemption. It's called...
I feel like it is redemption or repentance.
Repentance. Thank you. Yeah. That's their built-in trap door, is repentance.
That's like one of the cool things about that Instagram group that I follow, New Evangelicals, is he harps a lot on like, we are not perfect, because a lot of his like content is about just basically being a different type of Christian. And he talks about how like not everything he says is necessarily going to be true. He can be wrong about things, and that's okay. And even he posted something that he ended up learning more information about, and he reposted it and explained, I was incorrect in this. This is what happened, da da da, and like explained how he was wrong about something. And I was like, that is so refreshing. Like, thank you for being able to admit you're wrong about something and owning up to it, because I have never even seen a pastor do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I have either. I'm trying to think about that now.
I'm even just thinking about like that Warsaw. Did you see the stuff about that pastor in Warsaw?
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah, super fucked up. Ryan, did you see that stuff?
Nope.
So, Mr. Ignorant over there.
Yeah.
There was a pastor in Warsaw who he was admitting to adultery in front of his congregation. But really, what he actually did was rape, because the girl was a minor. And it was like rape and grooming, and he was trying to paint it as adultery. And this is like years later, and the girl stood up with her husband, I think, and was like, no, I was a child. Like, you raped me. And he was just like deferring all the blame and all this stuff. And like people in the congregation were yelling at him and calling him out. Like, it was a mess.
Yeah. And then the majority of the congregation afterwards got up and prayed for him in a circle.
Yeah.
While the victim was just like crying alone with her assumingly partner, not sure, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, what good does knowing that stuff do you guys?
I knew the guy. I've met that pastor before.
Yeah. What good does it do you?
Yeah. I mean, we're working on it, Ryan. That's one step at a time. One episode at a time.
It's examples of how not to be. That is not a decent human being.
Based on what?
Screwed up someone else's life.
So screwing up someone else's life is what is...
Shut up, you devil's advocate. I hate you.
You know, it's weird. That's interesting, because they would have to make an argument that, like, that's what... Because Slowfair would have to make an argument that child marriage and like underage stuff like that is obviously not moral, but in the Bible it was normal, and like throughout the entire Old Testament. So like, where does that morality come from?
Because that's my thing, is like, clearly the morality of things has changed over time, because we're not okay with teens getting married anymore, but that was a thing that just happened all the time in the Bible. And so how can things like that change, but other things can't? How can we take and skew those aspects of the Bible, but other things aren't allowed to change?
It depends what issues are wrapped up in their political power or not, but yeah.
Well, and it's like only because it's something that now looks bad. Whereas like, I don't understand why it's so bad to ask the church to like affirm people moving in together, and like affirm LGBTQ, and affirm women, and affirm, like, it's not a bad look. So why are you fighting so hard against it?
I mean, they probably just can't admit mistakes, honestly. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're saying earlier you've never seen a pastor or someone in power really admit a mistake before, and like, yeah, why would they go back and admit a mistake when they can just corrupt entire branches of government and go back to 1950s and before? Good luck, guys. Cheers. It's all downhill from here. Anyway, this is my escape from that. So I thought it was interesting, at about 15 minutes in, D says that the person is correct in saying that anyone can use their religion to make the other sound wrong.
So he's right that anyone can use their own religion to show that another one is wrong. But what we're saying, and I think what her question actually said, was that there are inconsistencies in the worldview story. So she was on the right track. She just needs to press that issue with him, Like that's not what I said. What I said was within the worldview itself, there are inconsistencies.
And it was a very interesting point to concede. But then he goes really off the rails and he starts talking about Hinduism or other related religions that are New Age and
cosmic humanist related.
Yeah, well, sure. If we use their terms, cosmic humans, cosmic humanist. And that basically says he starts talking about how they see the physical world as an illusion. So pain and suffering and evil is an illusion. And he's like, how can you look someone in the eyes that has been raped and say that the world is just an illusion and all the pain and suffering they feel is an illusion?
You know, with Hinduism, you know, or any religion that says, okay, the physical world, as Brett pointed out, the physical world is an illusion. Okay, so then within, if we think about that, that means that, you know, suffering and pain and evil is also an illusion. Does that make sense with what you see in the world? You know, can you look at someone who's been raped and say, sorry, it doesn't exist. It's just an illusion, right? Your pain is just illusory because this physical world doesn't exist.
Which is like, okay, really just raise the stakes there. But then also Christians do that all the time when like someone dies from cancer and they just say it's like, it was God's plan that someone died. Like you say the same thing, like you don't use the word illusion for the entire world, which isn't even how humanism or cosmic humanists see things, but whatever. Like he's completely wrong, but...
Well, that's how when he said it, I was like, I feel like you're assuming a lot about how a person is going to handle a situation like that. Like, I feel like you're just taking the very like far end of how they could approach it and assuming that that's how they're going to approach it, because I feel like Christians just approach things so aggressively. Like someone that actually believes that is not going to, they're not going to discredit someone being raped and tell them it's an illusion. Like if they are an actual human being, that is not in any way, shape or form how they're going to actually address that type of situation. Like, have you actually met someone that's how they handle it? Like that's how they treat it. Like if they met someone that had been raped, they would just completely disregard it in order to force what they believe down that person's throat. Because I have, and they're all Christians. So
yeah, I was gonna say just this past week or yesterday, there's been Christians talking about the 10-year-old rape victim that got an abortion here from Ohio, because it's banned in Ohio now, but not here. So she got one in Indy and she's 10 years old, and there's still Christians saying things like it was God's plan to have a child and like you murdered it kind of thing. And I was like, I don't hear that from any other sect except you. Like, and it's not every Christian, obviously, but like the people in power, like that was a state senator. And then I've seen stuff from our attorney general, even, who's a piece of work. But like, it's like people who have power say these things, and like, it's awful. It's very frustrating.
I'm trying to remember who it is, because there was another political figure too that was talking about how instead of like acknowledging the horrible and horrific thing that happened to this child and the fact that she had to go across a state border in order to deal with it, she was like posting pictures of the man who raped her. She was posting pictures of his like booking photo and saying, well, he was arrested. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this justice that was done. He was arrested. Like, okay, cool. But that doesn't negate the fact that this child was raped and is now pregnant with that man's child.
At 10.
Yes. A literal child. And these are the exact kind of scenarios that we were afraid of. And now you're trying to completely discredit this child's experience by saying, well, at least he was arrested. Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. That's our justice system. He was arrested. Awesome. But you still have a child that is now pregnant with her rapist child. And she herself is a child. So how does him getting arrested have anything to do with the fact that now she's having to process that trauma?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, the situation has happened, and it was Christians telling that their pain, suffering, and evil is an illusion. Like, they don't use that words, but it's the same concepts, and it's really frustrating. It was really frustrating to hear him say that, that's for sure. Because it wasn't even a topic that was being talked about, and then it's just like, let's just take the highest stake possible, like a rape case, and just, like, imagine that. But, like, you hear the same thing when anyone gets, like, cancer or anything. Like, Christians always have to stay so positive about it and, like, pretend to be positive. Like, You can say that having cancer fucking sucks and you can be depressed about it. Like, that's the normal reaction. Like, having people tell you all the time that it was in God's plan to do this and, like, it was your time to get called back. It's like, you're basically saying the physical world is an illusion because the rest is in your heaven. Like, it's the same concept.
I hate when they're like, just pray about it. Yeah. Like, okay, well, nothing's happened and I'm still dealing with it. So I need further steps.
Yeah, and like people get so caught up into that just praying about it and doing like natural remedies kind of thing that they die. Like they don't do the things that work because they're so wrapped up in the anti-science, like vaccines are not effective. And like they get caught up in this, all this stuff that the church has let get peddled around for so long that you try to do natural cancer remedies and then you like you die because you can't trust scientists or anything like that. And it's super frustrating.
Yeah. Even just like the whole mental health crisis. Like I got told to just pray about it so many times while I was having panic attacks, suicidal thoughts, severe, severe depression. And you want me to just pray about it? I need serious help. Like I need actual help. I don't need to just keep praying about it. I need someone to actually help me who is licensed and a professional to walk me through this. I would not be where I am today if I didn't get actual counseling done to work through those issues.
Oh, so not pastoral counseling.
It is technically the wife of a pastor, but she is actually a licensed mental health counselor.
That's good. I wrote a whole paper on why there shouldn't be pastoral counseling.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. You know, it sounds like all these Christians could just benefit really from just following the science. Like, just looking into the science.
They have their own science, Ryan.
We'll get to that in a sec. I have a couple more. We have a couple more bullet points before that. Another interesting thing is that Dee brings up that one of the options for the former student is to use the worldview of, I again need to clarify that worldview isn't actually a real thing that real official people use. It's just a Christian thing and I'm using their language. So he uses the term worldview and saying to use it against them instead of using Christianity against them.
That religion, it is, is wrong. It's using its own worldview to argue that is wrong. And so that's one of the tests we can put to worldviews to determine, well, does this make sense? Does this make logical sense? Is it livable, right? Is there evidence outside the worldview we can touch on that would show it to be true? So there's a few tests we can put to these religions to be able to determine the truth rather than just, you know, I say this is true, you say that is true. Yeah, that's going to go nowhere.
Which is like a really stupid point to make, but like I remember it being a big thing in the UTT class is like if Christians know enough about another worldview that they feel like they can prove it false, but then they never take that concept and apply it to Christianity as their worldview. And like if I know enough about Christianity, then I can also prove it false just like I can do with any other worldview. Of like they always come in it with a baseline of like Christianity is true and then here's why it's true. And it's never like all of the evidence makes it true. It's like here's a bunch of evidence after the fact that makes it true. And then here's where all these other worldviews are also false. And so ours is the best one. But then they never evaluate anything on fair ground. And that's why I lost my faith, because turns out once you start thinking about Christianity, it starts to break apart.
Well, and that's like that UTT exam, thinking about that is interesting because, you know, you have this conversation with a stranger, but he never really argues back about Christianity. Like it was just me pointing out the flaws in his belief system and then him trying to defend that, obviously. But then you're supposed to like slide Christianity in there and like basically witness and evangelize to them. But it's never them then coming at Christianity and trying to point out the flaws in that. Yeah. It was all very one-sided of just trying to prove them wrong and then slip Christianity in there.
Yeah, super weird.
Super not normal.
Yeah, it's just so funny because it's like Once you apply that, because like UTT was the class where I started taking it, and that's where like I couldn't hide, like I couldn't bury my thoughts about Christianity, and like it was becoming more and more fractured, was about when UTT happened. And then it was like, it was only worse. So it was just kind of like duct taping everything together and pretending everything was fine, as it was just like all like crumbling and through the duct tape and like just falling onto the floor. It's like everything's fine kind of thing. And it wasn't. But like the point of Lakewood is that you do 12 whole years of Christianity. So you come in with the baseline for UTT and then it's not supposed to fall apart. Because I was looking at the curriculum, and they now have curriculum that's focused like different sections of it. They spread it out across the entire 12 years of like a private school education. And I'm very curious. I want to buy some and go through all of the years of it. But you're supposed to have a foundation just built on Christianity and then not think about anything else for 11 years. And then your senior year, you're supposed to like, here's why everything's false. And then it's already too late for you to deconstruct at that point. But it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting when you learn critical thinking skills of how dangerous of a weapon that is if you're being you're trying to be kept in line, kind of thing too.
Yeah, because I feel like I remember so many times that like they told us to question things, and like I remember Mr. D specifically telling us to ask questions, but then it was met with like this, well, don't ask like too many questions. Like, and ask the right questions. Like, we only were allowed to ask very specific questions, because anything outside the scope that was leaning towards like moving away from faith was dangerous. But it's like, you want us to ask questions, but you don't want us to ask these questions, but you want to teach us critical thinking, but we're only like, I feel like they tried to put these very like restrictive rules on critical thinking for us, and it didn't work out for a lot of us, because I think a lot of us have gone past those boundaries.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. So I don't want to talk about this, but so they bring up the worldview test.
Three tests to apply to any worldview. Is it logically consistent? Is it empirically adequate? And is it existentially relevant? So can you follow a flow of logic in which it's not contradictory within itself or within the tenets of that faith? Is it empirically adequate? Does it line up with what is observable in creation? And then existentially relevant, does it actually connect with our human existence and experience?
But it's funny, I just wanted to point out that I'm pretty sure, and as far as I could tell by Googling, that was created by Ravi Zacharias, who was a real piece of shit and a very big hypocrite, and it was just kind of funny to me. But like when you point those tools also against Christianity, it's kind of the same point I was making earlier. It's like the same flaws appear, kind of thing. And so like, I don't know. It's just, it always is ironic to me when they hand these tools out to students and they just point it at every other worldview and are like they're telling this former student to use these three tools as a way to break apart your best friend's worldview, but don't do it on yourself in your own worldview, because Christianity is true.
I also just want to know what other religions out there are being this aggressive about what other people think. Like, who cares this much about this kind of stuff? Like, I don't. That's what I don't understand. I cannot fathom why we care so much. Like, I do, but I also don't. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting to me that Christianity is the most popular, but they're bleeding, like, young people. Like, yeah. I remember, like, there's always the statistic about, like, the seniors that go to college their first year. Like, 70% of them lose their faith, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, interesting. It's like something's wrong and you should think about it and like maybe change some stuff. And then instead they're just like, no, get our grip tighter. Like,
yeah, they dig their heels in deeper.
Yeah. Not great on the self-reflection and repentance thing as a movement. Yeah.
It is interesting. When I worked at the church, they did this whole big project on, it's called Growing Young. And and they were like trying to understand ways that they could like fix how much they were bleeding young people and like losing young people and all this stuff. And I'm trying to remember like what the issues that people had were, but I don't think anything actually came out of it. I think the only thing that really changed was they focused like a little bit more on the student ministry and the kids ministry. Like they would highlight them more, and to like try to make them involved in like the main church service and that sort of thing. But nothing like foundationally changed.
Right. They're just changing their manipulation tactic.
Essentially, yes.
Get it started earlier.
Yeah, that was, I remember sitting in on those meetings and just like having all these thoughts about like, why don't we feature women more? Why don't we get more female staff members? Why don't we get people that are not white on staff? Why don't we do all these other things instead of just like focusing on, here's a child service.
Yeah, something meaningful instead of the easy route of just like pretending this is going to help.
Well, and it's like, you know, you can have these services where you focus on kids, but like make these other fundamental changes that are clearly issues within this church before focusing on the children and the youth. Because yes, the children and the youth want to see more of like their own representation in ways, but they want to see other minority groups and like just other types of people represented within the church, I think. And even that would be impactful. But instead it was like, let's just throw the kids on stage.
Chris, should we do an episode of County Lines Family Podcast sometime?
Is that the podcast that JB and Matt did?
There's one with Dane in it.
What's it called? Hang on, let me look it up. Because there's one that they used my brother's song for the intro.
That's awesome. The Jesus-Centered Family Podcast is what it is called.
I've never listened to it.
I have. It's all about their sticky faith thing. It's about like families and like keeping your kids from leaving.
Oh yeah, that's the one. The intro is my brother's song.
Oh god.
I was there when they came up with that tagline, equipping every generation to intentionally live a Jesus-centered life. We spent an entire day's meeting coming up with that line. A whole 8 hours.
Just change equipping to indoctrinating is perfect. Indoctrinating every generation to intentionally live a Jesus-centered life. That sounds much more correct.
Listen, I can't talk too poorly about County Line Student Ministries because I actually appreciate those guys. They were not my problems with County Line.
The whole thing. There's good people in there, but they are willingly participating in it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you understand where they're coming from, but it is willful ignorance.
This is the difference, though. I can like them as human beings and have issues with their theology and their beliefs.
That sounds
I hate the sin.
That sounds a lot like, yeah, I love the sin or hate the sin. Yeah, that sounded a lot like that. And that is scientifically proven to not be possible.
Hey, I can think someone is a nice person and think they've got some shitty beliefs.
Okay, beliefs is different. Actions. Like, you can't really like a person that does terrible actions.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's hard to.
You know who else is predictable? Slofer. So he comes out and he starts talking about a correct answer for everything and then decides to bring science into it, which was hilarious because obviously the unseen can't be measured. Like, so he starts talking about how the model of the universe was that the earth was in the middle and then everyone thought that people were crazy for thinking the sun was in the middle, so they executed Galileo, but turns out Galileo was right. And so they get this little, so Slofer starts talking about a little persecution thing going on where it's like everyone thinks we're wrong about religion, but we're going to be right and science proves it. Except when science is wrong, it changes and your religion can't seem to change and is fighting tooth and nail to revert an entire country backwards in time with your outdated morals and not understanding how healthcare works or being able to somehow conjure out any political ideology you want from the Bible that doesn't talk about anything. And so I think it's kind of stupid to try and argue there's a correct answer in religion, especially through science when it can't be measured or observed is kind of a dumb analogy on his part. And I just wanted to feel bad about it just a little bit. And then, yeah, did you want to say something?
Nope.
Okay. That's fine.
What a great co-host. I'm Ryan. I have zero thought.
I have a lot of thought.
Just not on that.
Nope.
I mean, that was pretty clear cut and dry. I just wanted to make fun of Slow for a little bit, but also it sets up for his ending that we'll talk about. And then D tells the person to take a comparative religion study, which is also funny because then, like, you just point the skeptic lens at Christianity and then you're back at the same place where fighting about religions is stupid and why can't we all just coexist kind of thing.
Well, yeah, they hate it on the whole coexist thing. Forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole coexist movement thing isn't to say that all religions lead to the same place. Maybe some people say that, but I don't think that's really the meaning. I think it is more about religious freedom. Like, let people believe what they believe and coexist. Literally, it's in the word.
Yeah.
God.
No.
I don't know why they do this every episode where they like somehow find a way just to get like super tribalistic about something instead of like maybe thinking about this in a different way and like being less like tribalistic about it. But it's like, nah, full in on the exclusionary religion. Like, we're just going to really commit. And I guess that's kind of their job. So.
See, like I said, if we just persecute them more, then they won't have time to focus on politics.
I don't understand how they can, like, harp so... Because you were talking about religious freedom, and, like, I don't understand how Christians can harp so much on religious freedom when literally what they're doing, what they claim is religious freedom, is taking away the freedoms of other religions.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's not supposed to make sense.
It's just supposed to be right.
No, they say they say it makes sense. They seem to... Say, like, I heard the word logical so many times in that episode. Like, just got to think logically, analytically. Like, if I'm supposed to think about it logically, it should be making sense logically. And it does not.
Well, because, like, they built a world, like, they built an education system, I guess, where this all makes sense inside of it. Like, you don't think about it. It just makes sense. Like, growing up, I didn't think about any of this. And then I started thinking about it, and then it all fell apart. Like, and it's like, yeah. And 70%, if that number is even real, I don't even know. But, like, if 70% of young people go to college for 1 year and leave the faith, like, I think you're doing something wrong. Where, like, 1 year of gen ed classes... Or, like, having a little bit of freedom can just, like, topple an entire, like...
Having a little bit of exposure to other types of people in the world. And realizing that you actually can't treat people the way that you told me to have conversations with them at bus stop.
Yeah, nobody talks at the bus stop. Like, I don't know the fuck that's about, but, like, I've never talked to anyone at a bus stop or a train stop. Like, no, not doing that.
Also, just that... They're just not natural conversation.
No.
Yeah, and if I do talk to someone, it's sure not going to be about religion, that's for sure.
Hey, you waiting on the bus? Yeah. How you feel about God?
But that's what they, like, they set that up of, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Because, like, if you truly believe in a literal hell where people will burn for eternity, like, you should be doing that. You should do nothing else. That's why I don't think that they could deep down tell me that they believe in eternal damnation. Because, like, you would be out there trying to tell everyone every second of your entire life. And, like, instead you're teaching Bible to a bunch of students so that they can keep their faith instead of, like, going finding new converts. Like, I just don't believe that they can deep down actually believe in eternal damnation.
They indoctrinate soldiers to go out and indoctrinate other people for them.
Oh, so it's a pyramid scheme?
Yeah. Yes, it's all a pyramid scheme. We are the Christian Mary Kay.
Let's get it right. It's multi-level marketing, guys. Come on.
MLM, I forgot.
But, like, no, seriously, like, do they sit down and watch TV? Because that's time they could be, like, converting people and saving them from eternal fire. And, like, it's just, I don't believe there's a literal hell. I don't believe there's anything like that. But, like, I can't even say that I would have believed in that being a real thing past, like, having super hardcore end times anxiety about it, but like, it's just, I don't know. Like, if people are gonna die and then burn and suffer forever, like, and you're gonna, and you believe that you're going to heaven to like be happy and, as Dee said, in constant state of orgasm the yeah, whole time.
That's heaven.
Of like, why would you not spend your
entire? Described it that way.
Sure did.
You did. Sure did.
Oh my! I hate that. I hate that a lot.
Heaven sounds great.
Yep. There's no marriage in heaven, but at least there's constant orgasm.
Yeah, anyway, who needs marriage?
You would,
right? That's all marriage is for.
And making soldiers for the Lord, maybe. But
fill your quiver with arrows.
But why are you spending any time watching Netflix when you could be saving another soul? Like, if you truly believe that, I don't see why you would be wasting your time here. In their words, wasting your time here by not evangelizing all of the time.
Humans have limitations, Chris, okay? Gotta identify your weaknesses. No one can do that. No one can exist that way.
Well, then what's the point then, Ryan?
You're right. Like, what is the point?
Like, if you feel like your purpose is to evangelize, to save people from hell, and you can't even do that all day, every day, then what even was the point? Like, you should feel bad about yourself.
I feel pretty great about myself.
Yeah, but you don't believe any of that, so you're fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what I believe, so.
Yeah, you should feel pretty great about that, too.
I'm just here.
Completely valid. Completely valid.
See, I feel like most people, at least for me, it wasn't like I found a set of beliefs. The core belief is that I can't ever have 100% certainty on any belief. That's my core ground foundation for my existence now. Because I can never be 100% sure about anything. And I live based on that.
I'm not spiritual at all. And I live in the observable universe. So I follow that. And I don't care.
You're not spiritual at all?
No, not at all.
Well, what if you think of spirituality as the things in the universe that we can't sense?
Well, we better be able to sense it soon.
What if we can never, but we like know it's right there.
Well, if we know it's there, how do we know it's there?
Dark matter. A gravitation. Like things being affected by mass that's not there. No, like
it's not spiritual though.
You can, no, it's I'm physical. Saying, think of different dimensions as being the spiritual realm. I feel like people could get things that they don't understand or can't see mixed up with spirits or something. So really, they're just one and the same.
Okay, that's fair. I can see that. I see what you're saying. I don't know if I agree with it. I'll think about it. But no, but you're right. Like, that's kind of how religion came out of things, is like things knowing. That people didn't understand, right?
Like the sun. People worshipped the sun.
Okay, who wouldn't worship the sun? That thing's badass.
Exactly, but now we can see way farther than the sun and see things bigger and even greater than the sun, and like...
Like the black hole that's like 100 million times the size of the sun.
Yeah what's in there? We don't know.
I mean, we kind of do, though. But that's all physical.
All based on assumptions and guesses.
Yeah, but it's physical. Like, I see what you're saying about spiritual being things we don't understand.
What do you mean something's physical if it's just within the three dimensions that we have? Like, if we can't touch it, it's not physical?
Time is a fourth dimension. Right. Does it really exist?
I'm just saying, if there's something out there that we can't perceive, but other such beings could touch, like, that would be physical too, but not physical to us. Physical is relative.
Yeah. Right. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But what I'm saying is I don't focus on that because it's a waste of my life to worry about it.
Oh, it's not worrying, it's curiosity. Curiosity's fun. Not knowing is fun. If you find joy in not knowing things, then you can just be happy the rest of your life because you're never going to know anything.
What do you think about the multiverse?
Could
we live in a simulation?
Could be real. Could be real. Who knows? Can't be certain about it.
I'm pretty convinced in the simulation, but...
I like the idea of multiverses, simulation, makes sense. I don't care either way. Nothing changes for me.
I don't think a lot about the multiverse, but I like to think about what other planets there are and what kind of people live on those planets and whether those planets are as fucked up as Earth.
Probably.
And then at the end of the episode, Slopher says...
Follow the science? I don't know. Well,
just follow the science.
Follow,
Doesn't that fix everything these days? Just say follow the signs.
Yeah. That's it.
Like, he's got a big point there and like is really owning the libs, but like, oh my God, what a stupid misunderstanding of science. And like, it so scares me so much every time I listen to these guys that like, they teach children how to like think. And then they just do these little owns all the time. And it's super annoying. It's like, I don't think you understand how science works, first off, and like what the whole slogan follow the science means, but it doesn't lead to your religion, that's for sure. I hate that so much that he said that. It really pissed me off.
For the student who initially asked about their friend deconverting, I understand that that can be a very concerning thing based on the worldview that you may have. I would suggest, instead of just looking for ways to try to see or try to get your friend to see the way that you see things, I would suggest to try to see how they see things. Learn about their worldview. Don't just be thinking about how you can discredit their worldview, but actually learn from it. They may have ideas and concepts that you can benefit from. They have a different way of seeing things, and that can help you understand the world and other people within that world too. It's not just something to try to remove from that person, but you can learn from them and they can learn from you. So all in all, don't just go trying to convert them back to Christianity. They are another person going through life. You can't choose your beliefs. Those are not a thing. And if anyone tells you you can choose what you believe, they are most likely wrong. You know, just go and try to give up your worldview for a day and come back to it. You're not going to be able to do it. Beliefs aren't your choices, but you can learn from other people's beliefs and gain more wisdom and understanding by knowing more and more of other people's beliefs and perspectives. They are very beneficial and will help you in the rest of your life. That's all I got to say.
Well said. If you are this former student or any former student or want to reach out at all, please email us at hey@hallwaytransgressions.com. We'd love to hear from you and all that. Thank you, listeners. Have a good night, and we love you. Bye-bye.
Love you.